Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 60 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the red, mad, and bad-to-know, witchy-bitchy, feministy creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic, and, of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And as always, I have put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And today, I would like to talk about men. Really, I want to talk about women, and that's not even true. I want to talk about women and men and the culture that shapes our relationships to each other and ourselves. But first, men. I want to start this episode talking about men because I love men, and many of you listening now are, in fact, men. I want to address men first because, A, I don't want the men listening now to tune out thinking that this conversation is only about women. And if you're listening right now and you're a man, if you tuned into a show called Rad, Mad, and Bad to Know, Witchy or Witch, Bitch, what did I title it? Something about witches and bitches and feminists. Huge props to you. Thank you for checking this out. And B, I want to reiterate the fact that feminists do not hate men. Some individual feminists may for personal reasons, but feminists as a whole do not. Some feminists are men. And feminism as a movement has nothing to do with man hating. And everything to do with improving the lives of everyone. As Sam Killerman, a man, a white man no less, defines it in Everyday Feminism, feminist means person who believes people should have equitable places in society regardless of their gender. And you see this sentiment reiterated in photos of men wearing that infamous t-shirt that reads, "This is what a feminist look like." I did a lot of Google searches thinking about this show and what I wanted to say, and there's no way I can say it all in 30 minutes, which is true of just about every show. So if any of this interests you, you know, maybe it'll send you off on a whole Google adventure of your own. But in Googling, I put, "This is what a feminist looks like," in quotes. I came up with some very interesting images, and a lot of men popped up right away, including the fairly macho Patrick Stewart, who was photographed in that shirt, and Obama, who wasn't actually wearing the t-shirt, but he was, like, holding it up in front of himself and smiling. And since I couldn't find any photo credits for that picture, I'm suspicious and inclined to think it was possibly photoshopped, but still, Miss Magazine, the feminist magazine of the last however many decades, it did feature an illustration of Obama on its cover at the beginning of his presidency, in which he was dressed as a superhero, like ripping open the chest of his costume to reveal that very t-shirt underneath saying, "This is what a feminist looks like." And I have to give it up to the handful of dudes I found on YouTube who have made videos with a similar title. If you go to YouTube and you put in, "This is what a feminist looks like," you will find that there are a few brave men who have made videos by that title. So to those guys, I say, thank you, awesome dudes. There's so much weird stuff on YouTube. So it's kind of depressing, actually. It's just like, oh, if you put in, I was putting in feminist witch, and feminism, I've been thinking a lot about this lately and why I feel comfortable saying which, or I feel a little uncomfortable saying it, but I like saying it. There's something in me that likes that weird, uncomfortable feeling, I guess, and obviously I named my business Kick-Ass Witch, so I'm putting that out there. But you may know if you follow me on Facebook that a lot of the images I put out and quotes that I share, they're fairly feminist in tone, because I'm very inspired by that movement. Gloria Steinem in particular is a favorite of mine. I just did a blog post on her book on self-esteem, Revolution from Within. Picked out all my favorite quotes and put that up there. But you might have noticed that about me, that I like to put that stuff out there, but I haven't really made a video or done a show on being a feminist. And that is because there's just a lot of hate directed at those people, and I am a chicken. I admit it. I'm a total wuss, and that's starting to bother me about myself. I had a friend back when I was first on YouTube on a different channel than the one I am on now who made a video about feminism, and I think it was Feminist Wicca specifically. She was talking about Z Budapest's, what is her... Dianic Wicca, she was talking about that, and she got a lot of hate on that video. One dude in particular really honed in on her, very angry, and ended up, like, harassing her and following her and her friends around so he could go around, like, disliking their videos and sending her scary messages to where she just stopped making videos altogether, which is criminal in my opinion because she's so smart and interesting, and I look forward to every single video she made. Heather, if you're listening, make more videos. Screw that guy. But anyway, if you look up Feminist and Witch, you're going to find all sorts of things. There's even like a whole series about, oh, I want to say it's like an 8-part series. It's this huge multiple-part series on feminist witches. The Abortion Chronicles, I think it's called, something like that. And about, I didn't listen to the whole thing, you know, I just glanced at it to get the gist of this disgusting crap documentary supposedly that's put out there about how witches and feminists are evil and they sacrifice babies to their pagan gods via abortion. And there's just so much crap on YouTube about this. Many Christians have made videos going after feminists, going after witches, saying that they're evil, they're Satan worshipers. That pisses me off and pushes my buttons. And so much so that I'm, like, sitting here trying to tell you how awesome male feminists are. And I just go off on this whole, like side road here because, gee, that really, like, just bummed me out, like, finding that out. One good thing that I found out, or I found when I was on YouTube doing a search, and it came up pretty quickly, was a video of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, famous actor, you may know him. He was on Ellen, and he was talking about how he was raised by a feminist, and therefore he has a feminist perspective of things. And I wrote down what he said to Ellen because I thought that it was very cool. So I'm going to read that to you here. He said, "That was something that my mom would always point out to my brother and me, that our culture does often portray women especially like objects. For example, we would always watch Lakers games as a family, but my mom would always point out every time the cheerleaders come on, okay, so look, here's the story that gets told. The men get to be the heroic, skilled athletes, and the women just get to be pretty." She didn't mean any offense to any individual woman who was working as a cheerleader, but she wanted me and my brother to be aware of it because we see these images on TV, in the movies, and on magazines all the time. And if you don't stop and think about it, it just sort of seeps into your brain, and that becomes the way you perceive reality. And I thought that was so profound and true, and that what he is saying is what's happening to our young boys who are so addicted to porn. And I'm really honest to God, I am not a prude. I think sex is awesome. I just worry about where we're going with all of this and the way that women are depicted, even in porn, the way women are depicted in porn. And so anyways, this upbringing that Joseph Gordon-Levitt had with this feminist mom, I guess that's why he ended up starring in and directing the movie Don John. I hope I'm remembering that right. Don John. Did you see that movie? It came out last year, and it definitely made a statement. It's definitely shocking because it's told through the perspective of this guy who is addicted to porn and how that affects his relationships with everything. And if you are not a sensitive person, you might just watch the movie and think it's funny and like, yeah, porn, awesome. But if you have a brain and you're fairly sensitive, you're going to get the message that he's an addict, and there's a sense of emptiness to his life. And it's interesting because it gives like a dude's eye view of what porn culture can do to the developing male mind. And I actually think that starts just with your basic, you know, pop culture images that you see on TV commercials and in magazines. Like, that's where it starts out, you know. Little boys don't grow up on porn, although they are earlier and earlier now. But it just starts out with, like, Saturday morning cartoons, you know. And then Daniel Craig, Mr. 007 himself, he said something that I thought was very cool and just reflective of a book on tape I was listening to, or I guess they're not called books on tape anymore. Audible. I listened to an audio version of Gloria Steinem's Moving Beyond Words. And she said something in that that is actually reflected in this Daniel Craig quote. So I'll just read you his quote because it basically sums up what she was saying. And that is, women are responsible for 2/3 of the work done worldwide, yet earn only 10% of the total income and own 1% of the property. So are we equals? Until the answer is yes, we must never stop asking. 007 said that. A dude. So yes, feminism is a male and a female issue. And if you read my blog, you know that I recently started a new series called Book Nerd Weekly, which is what, when I was saying I did the post where I was talking about Gloria Steinem and pulling out my favorite quotes from Revolution from Within, a book about self-esteem. That was actually the second post I did in that series. The first book I featured was The Spiral Dance by Starhawk, which is a total classic and took me long enough to get around to reading it. But when I did, it totally rung true for me on so many points. I mean, I am not in a coven, and I don't know if I'm interested in ever being in a coven, and much of the book is like how to be in a coven. But everything else completely rung true for me, and it's a very powerful, interesting, I think, empowering book. I really enjoyed it, and I'm a person who's had a hard time wrapping my mind around the concept of a goddess, and it really helped me to do that. So love that book, love Starhawk, big fan now. But at any rate, she has a chapter in that book that I think explains how patriarchal culture has just, it's been as damaging to men as it has to women. And it's funny because I was tempted to just skip over that part because I was so enjoying the whole goddess thing that she was grooving on in the previous chapter. So I really, I was just like, ugh, now I have to read about men. I'm having such a good time reading about girl power and women. But I'm glad that I didn't skip over the chapter and I read it, because what she had to say about men and how patriarchy has really not done them a service at all, it really broadened my perspective. So I have my copy here. Let me turn to that page and read you just a little piece of what she had to say. Here we go. Sometimes my tongue gets in the way. I can't help it. Patriarchy literally means rule of the fathers. But in a patriarchy, very few men are allowed to enact the role of father outside the limited family sphere. The structure of hierarchical institutions is pyramidal. One man at the top controls many below. Men compete for money and power over others. The majority, who do not reach the top of the chain of command, are forced to remain immature in acting the roles of either dutiful or rebel sons. The good sons eternally seek to please the father by obedience. The bad sons seek to overthrow him and take his place. Either way, they are cut off from their own true desires and feelings. It's pretty interesting, I think. She also talks about how this creates a lot of anger in them, and I totally got that when I was reading it. I was like, yeah, dude, I mean, feminism is something that's relevant to all of us and should be pissing us all off when we think about, like, how, you know, patriarchy is, it's not just about religion, it's not just about politics, it's about the way it affects your entire life and way of being in the world. And I was reading this book and like halfway through it when I went to my sister's wedding. I was in my sister's wedding and I read this particular passage right around the time that I was still fuming from an incident that took place at my sister's wedding. It was a very beautiful wedding on a beautiful day, and the weather was absolutely perfect. And my sister was marrying a truly kind man in a gorgeous natural environment with trees and mountains and crows, and it was really a perfect day, and it was almost a perfect experience because I love my sister and my family was there. It was awesome, except for this one cringe-worthy, unbearable moment that I know I was having by myself, except for my husband, who knows me very well. He was sitting in the congregation, and I know he, like, saw what was going on with me, but everybody in the congregation, they were all Christian and very, very, very much aligned with what this preacher had to say. So, and I was the maid of honor, so I was standing up by the altar with my sister, her husband, and his best man, and then the preacher. And I was a little bit surprised that instead of doing just the wedding ceremony, they basically had a whole sermon. And a big, large chunk of that sermon had to do with how God is in charge of man, and man must be obedient to God, and man is in charge of women, and women must be subservient to men, and which just, I mean, it like started giving me heart palpitations just hearing it, but then he kept going on and on and on about it and elaborating about how my sister needs to be subservient to her husband as all women need to be subservient to their husbands, and that's how the Lord wants it, and blah, 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 blah. And I just felt like my whole body stiffening up, and I had this visual of myself taking my bouquet and like throwing it on the ground and storming off in protest. And at one point I did feel myself kind of rock backward and step backward, which was just like, it was like an involuntary reaction to what was going on. It was like I like needed to distance myself from it in some way while keeping like a smile on my face and looking as bridal as I could, but it drove me nuts. And, you know, that's something I was raised on, that it did not ring true for me, especially when I was a teenager and I was really questioning things in my religion. That was something that has always just pushed my buttons. And, you know, I think that maybe why words like feminist and witch, they hold so much power for me because, well, feminist because of what I just talked about, and witch because religion is just, my family is all about it. I mean, Jesus is what we talk about all the time, and I have to go through all the holidays and family gatherings, you know, just going along with this stuff and being polite and whatever. So, you know, words like that, they touch on issues that while some people may have moved beyond these things, I am still very much in play with. Like, this is all still very much on my mind because it's a part of my daily life. And it's funny, I just let this stuff go because I have respect for their religion and what they believe. But every once in a while, I will kind of ping, like touch my buttons. And so the other day, my mom is a missionary, as I've told you, in England right now, and her, like, their missionary leaders, I don't know what they're called, but they're visiting my mom and her husband, their house, and so they were off, like, going on tours, my mom of the UK, they're in the UK, so they're touring all these castles and churches and stuff. She sends me albums, and they really like the comments I leave. I leave little funny comments on all the pictures and stuff, and it makes them laugh, and they open them together with their company or whatever. But one picture that they posted, it said, "Fear God, love the brotherhood." And something about that just like, it just did not sit right with me. So I wrote, "And the sisterhood, thank you very much." And I posted that, and I was like, oh, that's not enough. And I wrote, "Do not fear God. That is some BS created by the church," which I wrote in quotes, "to control the masses. God is love." And then I felt kind of bad afterward because I was like, she's going to open that with her missionary leader people, and it's probably going to embarrass her. And awesome. Now I'm a cliche. I'm the infamous feminazi bitch that my dad was so worried I would become. Sorry, Dad, I love you, but yes, this is who I am, and this is what I've become. This is what comes out of me sometimes. I think it just, like, I take so much, and then it kind of, like, hits a little boiling point, and I have to have just a little moment of release like that. Now, bitch is a word I do not like most of the time. I don't like when women refer to their friends as their bitches. Where my bitches at? I don't like that. And I especially don't like it when men do that, obviously. But I do see its value sometimes, like as the title of a popular feminist magazine, you know, bitch. It's a very good magazine, and I think that the shock value of its title, it really serves a purpose there. It works. But in general, despite many women's well-meaning attempts to reclaim, redefine, and own this word as their own, I just find it degrading. But that's just me. This is just my opinion. I'm not telling you how to think or feel. I'm just sharing with you my perspective, and you can do with it what you will. Which, on the other hand, I think it's pretty obvious that I love that word. I like the word witch for so many reasons, many of which I have mentioned here and in my videos and on my blog and in interviews I have done. But one of the reasons I like it is it feels very punk rock to me. You know, it's a feeling that I will admit I don't entirely understand, which is probably why I like to keep exploring and thinking about it. But it gives me a certain feeling, you know. It makes me feel proud and scared and daring and weirdly empowered. And when I look back at the history of people who have used this word and the young people who are using it now, I think that many of us have that in common, that kind of good, kind of scary feeling that it gives us, you know. It feels rebellious, at least to me. And there was a group formed in 1968. It did not last long, and it was actually a group of groups known as WITCH, W-I-T-C-H, in all capitals, Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell, which just cracks me up. Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell. I don't think you could say that today because of the word terrorist. I think the government would be like, wow. But I get the point. And considering that this group, it wasn't about religion or spirituality so much as it was about politics and theatrical guerrilla-style protests. They were feminists. And I think that rebellious punk rock spirit was very much alive in what they were doing. And their original manifesto, as presented in Margot Adler's Drawing Down the Mood, which I am reading right now, it goes like this. It's so good, I have to read just a little piece of it to you guys. Witch, W-I-T-C-H in all caps. Witch is an all-woman everything. It's theater, revolution, magic, terror, joy, garlic flowers, spells. It's an awareness that witches and gypsies were the original guerrillas and resistance fighters against oppression, particularly the oppression of women down through the ages. Witches have always been women who dared to be groovy, courageous, aggressive, intelligent, nonconformist, explorative, curious, independent, sexually liberated, revolutionary. They bow to no man, being the living remnants of the oldest culture of all, one in which men and women were equal sharers in a truly cooperative society. Before the death-dealing sexual, economic, and repression of the imperialistic phallic society took over and began to destroy nature and human society. I love the imperialist phallic society. It's so awesome. And I think, too, that that's what women are doing with the word pussy now, which, you know, I don't know how great that word is beyond its initial shock value. I actually always kind of liked that word. I don't know why. But sometimes shock value is what you need to get the people's attention, as in the case of Pussy Riot. It's funny now to hear, like, newscasters and I think even Obama saying Pussy Riot is just awesome. I know Hillary Clinton, maybe Obama hasn't said it, I don't know. You tell me, has Obama said Pussy Riot yet? I know Hillary Clinton actually posed with a picture of two of the girls from Pussy Riot and put it up on Twitter, and I was like, yes, Hillary Clinton is writing Pussy Riot on the internet. And those young women are doing some pretty amazing things and calling attention to important issues. And I guess the impact of that word is catching on, because when I opened my inbox this morning, I was greeted by the words, perfect pussy. Apparently there is an all-girl New York punk band going by that name, and they just released a remake of Bruce Springsteen's Candy Room. And so that, like, just showed up in my email box this morning, because I'm subscribed to a bunch of music newsletters, and because the first two words in the subject line were perfect pussy, of course I had to immediately click through to see what that was all about, because I am not immune to these tactics. And I'm actually impressed by them, because something I think about a lot in terms of getting an unpopular message out into the world, whether it's trying to get GMOs labeled, save the planet, protect small biz, or stand up for women's rights, it's how do you move beyond just preaching to the choir? You know what I mean? My husband, for example, he loves to watch Bill Maher on HBO, and he'll get all fired up when someone gives a particularly moving rant in defense of a cause that he cares about, you know, and he'll start saying, oh, this is going to change everything. And I'm always like, no, it's not. Not if it only is being said on shows like Bill Maher or in the Huffington Post. Those readers and viewers already hold that position. Now, if it could make its way onto Fox News, you might have something there. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean that we shouldn't preach to the choir and rally together over issues like feminism or religious freedom, but at some point, the movement has to move beyond that or it's dead. And if your message is angry, you probably aren't going to get very far, because anger is usually met with more anger. Or resistance, you know, people naturally defend themselves when someone is coming at them in anger, which is hard not to do when you're angry. And I'd say that women who make less than men with the same qualifications in the same position, they have the right to be angry, as do women who work as housewives and mothers 24/7 around the clock and then get told that they don't work, or they have to go out and get a second part-time job for part-time pay in an attempt to help make ends meet, even though childcare can sometimes cost more than your part-time job pays. I understand the anger there, but I don't think the majority of men, especially men of privilege, are going to understand, much less care about that, unless you can make them see your point of view, make them laugh, make them feel, which is what art is so good at doing. Movies, music, photography, books, magazines, and personally my pet cause when it comes to feminism is centered on the way women are depicted in pop culture. And I have so much I want to say, so many notes here, and I only have like 5 more seconds, so I literally have to cut this show off now, which is so depressing, but I have to tell you guys goodbye. Whatever, I hope you are enjoying this new moon solar eclipse energy. I hope that is treating you very well. keep calm and carry on, my rad, mad, and bad-to-know friends. And until we meet again, much love. Peace.